Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I said good morning to, I think, four people as they came in. I just got to get back in the groove. You know, it's different because usually we're gathered here in the morning. Usually we have the drums and the guitar and the praise band going. Today's a little more traditional and at a different time. But one thing is constant. God's presence. No matter where you go, He's there. As I've said in sermons before, if you want to play hide and seek with God, you're going to lose. Okay? There's nowhere you can run, nowhere you can hide. But it's good that He's everywhere, and it's good that He's here today. So whether you're here physically or here online, we welcome you and just ask that you just worship Him and experience God's presence as we do so. Let's start with our readings.
Our first reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Second reading is from Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. As for in the day of Midian's defeat, you have scattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. The Christmas Gospel is found in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for your word. You inspired so many authors to write this, Lord, and compiled it into a book that we can go to for so many things. May it speak to us today, Lord. May it just be your living word, alive and reaching us in a way that no other words can. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was reading through these, and I've read these many times, of course, this is the same gospel we use every Christmas, so how are we going to find a new angle on it, right? You've heard this story. You've all heard it many times. I've heard it many times. I've preached on it a number of times. But God is, he's creative. I mean, he created everything, the universe, right? He's got this creative streak. And he'll take these same words and open them up in a new way. And you just go, wow, I never thought of it that way before. Things start jumping out at you. It's a living word, after all. And that's what was happening this last week as I was preparing for this. I'm looking at it, and I'm seeing verse 4 of John 1. It just jumped out at me. You know, I love the beginning. You know, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus was there at the beginning. He was with God. He was God. Nothing was made without him, or everything was made through him. But verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. In him was life. Wow. That, the more I started researching, the more I started pondering that, the more I started discussing it, the more life it took on, that verse. And you start thinking about life. You know, what is life? We have lots of inanimate objects. You know, we got the wood here, which is formerly living. We got the microphone here. It's not alive, you know. Some things look like they might be alive, like the flame here in the candle. It's giving off heat, so it's like warm-blooded, right? You can see it flickering, so it's moving. You could almost identify it as a living organism in a way, because it requires, it consumes energy, it gives off heat, and it moves. Wow. But it's not life. It does not have life. Life is something special that only God could create. And he gave life to plants, to animals, to people, little microorganisms, single-celled little amoeba and paramecia, things like that, that we can't even see. We didn't even know about until we discovered microscopes. So what do all these things have in common? They have life, and life can only come from God. It's not random chance. Trust me, it's not. For this, we have to venture into the realm of biology. Okay, what I say is one of the lesser sciences or the pseudosciences, right? Being a teacher of chemistry and physics, you know, they are the true sciences in my opinion, right? And I should have Luke come up here, you know, biology teacher perhaps, to do the sermon here on life. You know, what is life? It's this interesting little spark that we have. You can have an inanimate object, but you can't give it life. It's got this energy, this little spark. You got it from your parents. As soon as that sperm met the egg, there's life. There's cells dividing. There is life. We're all the result of that. And it's an incredible, mind-blowing thing. You know, we can make something that has all the pieces and parts of a human, but we can't give it life. That has to come from a natural source. Only life can create life, which is really cool. So in researching this, then, what is life? I got myself a biology book, okay? I should have chemistry and physics. I know I sort of hesitate to bring this up here, but I always tease the biology teachers at school, okay? I do that. But that's sort of their realm. What is life, right? And if we open up the book here, as you probably all learned in 10th grade, remember that? There are certain requirements for something to be defined as alive. Living things are made up of units called cells. Some only have one cell, again. Some have multiple ones. We have trillions of them. Living things have the capability to reproduce. Life can beget life. It can't come from anywhere else. Every one of us sitting here is the result of one man and one woman coming together. No other combination, no other thing will work, right? One man, one woman can create life. Living things are based on a universal genetic code. This was not known earlier in history, but now that we've seen the genome and we've seen the DNA, there's an organization to it. We'll get more on that later here. Living things grow and develop. Absolutely. We start out little, like the kids here, right? But then we were all that age once, and we have since grown and developed. And we continue to grow, vertically at first, and then, you know, maybe a little more horizontally. And we continue to develop, okay? The mind is not developed, at least in a male, until they're about 24 or something like that, right? So, you know, a 21-year-old male, they think they know it all, right? Yeah, their brain's still developing, okay? Living things obtain and use materials and energy. Yes, we need an energy source. We need food to live, right? Deer, ducks, and pheasants, and whatever you can grow in your garden. Living things respond to their environment. If we're getting too cold, we move to somewhere warmer, right? Or light or dark, we can do that even with simple organisms. They'll respond to the external environment. Plants do that too, right? They're going to respond to sunshine, okay? So this is not only animals, although my brain goes down that road, but this is also plants too, and organisms, microorganisms. They maintain a stable internal environment, homeostasis. You got to keep your temperature at the right level, the blood pressure at the right level, all those things. And then, taken as a group, living things change over time. Yeah, as we mature, as we develop, we do change. So all those apply to any living thing, be it a plant, be it a microorganism, be it an amoeba, a human, an elephant. If we discover aliens someday, okay. Absolutely, all things have to, these apply, and these define life. When you start getting into human life, it's sort of interesting, too. Because we have this DNA that was mentioned. DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, it's an acronym there. And there's four basic amino acids that are going to create this DNA. You have adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine, just four of them. And we're going to put them together into different arrangements, different organizations. So these form little pairs in that spiral helix of DNA. I should have projected this perhaps. But those little pairs, you have 3.2 billion base pairs to make you. This is in every cell of your body, in the nucleus, has this DNA. 3.2 billion pairs in a specific order. Random chance? I don't think so. How can chemicals come together and then just randomly develop into 3.2 billion pairs in an ordered structure to create life? Of a human, there's something involved here. It's not random chance. There is a creator, right? We see an order here. There is a creator. And then in every cell of your body, and you have about 36 trillion cells. Wow, mind-blowing. It almost makes me want to take a biology course to learn more, but no, not quite. Okay. But it is admittedly mind-blowing that this somehow happened, all right? And here's one quote from this book. Page 425, when they're looking at the puzzle of life's origin, how did it come about? The scientists are looking at this, the biologists. They write, a stew of organic molecules is a long way from a living cell. And the leap from non-life to life is the greatest gap in scientific hypotheses of Earth's early history. That leap from just a bunch of chemicals to actual life. They define it as the greatest gap in scientific hypotheses. Well, I could tell them a little bit about how that happened, right? In the beginning, right? As Christians, we know what happened. And it's just great. I love it when archaeology, when science and things like that make discoveries that just sort of line up with what's in Scripture. Isn't that a cool thing? You're just going, yeah, you're figuring it out. You're getting there. Okay. We know the truth. So this whole thing of life, it's just fascinating. We're blessed to have it because, oops, excuse me, life is a gift. Life is a gift that we've all been given by God. It's a gift from God. But we're not just physical beings, right? We're also spiritual beings. So we have physical life, but we also have a spiritual life, again, from God. God who is spirit. We're made in his image. We have a spirit, okay? You want to get down to it, we're basically a spirit surrounded by a carbon-based organism, okay? Organic life support system to keep our spirit alive and feed it. So we have a spiritual life as well. And that's what differentiates us, perhaps, from all the other life forms out there. You got plants, you got animals, you got microbes, you got fungi, all these things. But do they have a spiritual life? No. When God made man, he made us different. He said it's very good. He gave us a spirit. That spirit lives on. This body's only temporary. But our spirit lives on. So we take care of our bodies. You know, people, New Year's coming up, they can make resolutions to exercise more often, right? They're going to be doing all the eating right. So yes, you have to feed and exercise your physical body, but how about your spiritual body? Does that require exercise?
Does that require nutrition? Absolutely. Don't neglect it. We're not just physical, right? You got physical health, mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, all this together. We are complex. And it is possible to be physically alive, but not totally spiritually alive either. And unfortunately, some people have that going on, where they have not experienced the rebirth. They have not been born again in Christ. And then they have not awakened, unlocked that spiritual component. There's new life in Christ, right? New life in Him. When you accept Him as your Savior, you are changed. The old is gone, the new has come. We are a new creation in Christ, as it says. And not only do you get to this life and spiritual life, but also eternal life, which is really cool. God came down, made this all clear that, yeah, we're more than physical, we're spiritual, but there's also the eternal component. And that's really cool. I don't know that there's a whole lot in this biology book about the spiritual life and the eternal life, but I know another book that has that. Okay, this one instead. I'll have to read that sometime and just check into that and see what all's in there. Okay. Alrighty. So yeah, this life, again, is a gift. You have to care for it. You have to take care of it. You have to appreciate it. Maybe you got your favorite shotgun. You oil it after hunting out in the rain today or something, right? You take care of it. Your spiritual life, you take care of it. You have to feed it, again. And you are what you eat. So if you're putting bad things in your spirit, yeah, it's going to develop. It's going to go down that bad road. But when you put good things in, the Word of God, which is always good, hanging out with other Christians, you know, experiencing good things, it's going to grow. It's going to thrive. It's going to build up. And it's going to overflow from you into others and onto others. You just can't help it. When you're on fire for the Lord, it's going to overflow. Life can come to an end, physical life. It has to be sustained. There's four basic things you would need. You have to have food, water, air, and light. Those four things for a physical life to grow, be it a plant, microbe, human, whatever. Well, we could draw a parallel with this too then. The food, the bread of life, as Jesus, huh? Ooh, water, living water, okay? Air, Holy Spirit, defined as pneuma, which in the Greek means wind or air. You can feel Him. You can't always see Him. Absolutely. We have God's Spirit within us. And then light. Well, Jesus being the light of the world. So God providing all four things for us spiritually as well as physically, right? We have food, we have water, we have air, and we have light, all of which are needed. And without light, you would have the darkness. John addressed that here. He had said that the light shines in the darkness, it has to, but the darkness has not understood it or has not overcome it. You want to go down that road, either interpretation. So if you're in a dark room, you light up a lighter, it's going to dispel the darkness. The darkness cannot exist where there is light. Is there any way the darkness can come and overcome the light? It can't. Okay, this is basic physics, but it's also spiritual as well. That God who is light dispels the darkness cannot understand it, the darkness cannot overcome it, it has to flee in His presence. But sometimes we walk in darkness. And that's what was cited in Isaiah today, when it was read that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Not just a normal light, but a great light, right? The light of the world. This is prophecy of the coming of Jesus. That was going to happen 700 years before He was born. It's all laid out here beautifully. And the promise of new life. Verse 6 is where it really comes. For to us a child is born. A child is precious. It's a gift. It needs to be taken care of. As foster parents, Jill and I have taken care of other people's kids at times that we're not taking care of. And that's a sad thing. It's not the way God intends it. Children are to be valued. They are to be treasured. I don't care if they're born or unborn. They are to be cared for. They are a gift from God. They're something special. They're unique. Nobody else has those pairs of DNA. Unfortunately, some unborn children never have the chance to get born. Maybe it's someone that could have discovered the cure for cancer, and now the world's without it because someone made a decision. We have to value life, okay? God gave us life. Life is precious. It is to be valued. Unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. Again, a gift is something that's given. We receive this gift. The government will be on His shoulders, and He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Again, all this prophecy about who Jesus is going to be and what he is going to accomplish, all laid out here beautifully. So the potential that this child had, and every child, again, has potential to do wonderful things. You hold a little baby in your arms, you don't know what their future holds, but they have the potential to do incredible things. Here it lays it out. This guy, the government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Now, I'm not one for increase of government, okay? That's what it says here. The increase of his government, though, okay? Yeah, our government should probably be limited a little more, but of his government, there'll be no end. So when he is governing, when he is the king, when he is on the throne, then perfect things are happening. The will of God is happening. And that's something we look forward to, when one day he'll make his dwelling with us. Be our God, live with us, and we'll be his children. But to do this, to fulfill these, he had to come into the world. And that's where we got in the Gospel of Luke today, that Jesus came into the world. Mary gave birth to new life. Well, not really, because he was there at the beginning, right? He was there. This is not new life, okay? He's got his mom and then a stepfather, Joseph. But yeah, so he came down to experience life like us so that he can identify with us, to show us the way to live, to give us a pattern, to model our lives after. Just taking on human form out of love. Didn't have to. And who would want to if you're experiencing all the glories of heaven? But out of love for us, out of concern for us, he did it. He took on human life. He knows what you're going through. He's been there. He's suffered. He's done the human thing. He's always there with you. He's always there for you. And still alive today, okay? Life does not end with our physical life ending. Spiritual life goes on. Eternal life goes on. You can make reservations at one of two places. That's it. All right? So life is something we have to treasure. Life is something we have to value. Life is something we have to defend. And life should be lived to God's glory. Let us seek to do so. Amen.